Greetings in Jesus' name this morning, and welcome to our service. Especially appreciate the visitors that are here this morning. Helps to fill up the empty seats from all those that are missing. Glad that you can all be here, and trust that we can worship the Lord together. Let's stand together for a word of prayer before we go on. Our Father in heaven, we pause before you again. We worship you, we love you, we bless you, we praise you for all your wonderful works to man. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for a hope of heaven and the joy of living for you. And we pray you bless our time together here today. Bless each soul in this midst, touch each heart, minister to each life. Allow your presence to fill this place and go before us. Show us your way, lead us in your ways. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. That's a big word. That's the title of my message this morning. Metamorphosis. One of the children want to tell me what that means. Who can tell me what a metamorphosis means? Someone? I thought someone would have that one pretty quick. That's like when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. It's when it changes from one thing to another. And that change is something that has to take place in our life as well. That word metamorphosis actually means the same thing as one word we had in our Sunday school lesson this morning there, where it talked about, I said about the Jews, that they hardened their hearts and they closed their eyes and their ears so that they wouldn't hear the word, lest they become converted and become healed. The word convert and the word metamorphosis actually means exactly the same thing, pretty much. I have the definition here. Both of them at one place. I'm not sure where it is, but they're basically the same thing. It's that of changing from one form to another, from one state to another. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." There needs to be a change take place in our life if we're going to get to heaven. The way we were born as sinners, we were born away from God, separated from God. But there has to be a change take place. There has to be a metamorphosis, a transformation in our life at some time, at some point. In Acts chapter 3, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when a time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's that experience of transformation, that experience of being converted, of being changed, that we're no longer like we were, but we are changed, we are different. Just like the caterpillar. It no longer looks like a caterpillar once it becomes a butterfly. You can't even see the caterpillar anymore. It's a butterfly is a totally different creature. And I believe that same thing can happen to us today. In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So it's a change that takes place from the inside out. The change has to take place on the inside, and then the outside will change. Well, a true conversion is not something that just we put things on the outside when we to be converted, but we become changed inside, and the inside comes forth on the out. Change comes from the inside, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul was one of those. Metamorphosis experience on the Damascus Road. Remember how he was persecuting the church and he was persecuting the Christians and taking them off to jail and he was out doing his business in persecuting and dealing with the Christians in his day and God appeared to him there on the Damascus Road, and he was struck down with conviction, and he cried out to God in repentance, and said, what wilt thou have me to do? And at that point, Paul became from persecuting the Christian, he became a preacher of the gospel. He became transformed. He became a new person. People that heard him later on, they said, isn't this that man that was persecuting the church? Yeah, that's him, but something happened to him. He's not the same man anymore. He got changed. He got transformed. He got converted. He got changed. And that's the kind of experience that every one of us need to experience at some point in our life, where we are transformed by the power of God. The transformation of God changes us from the inside out. We no longer think the way we did. We no longer love the things that we once loved. We no longer hate the things that we once hated. But instead, we love the things that we once hated and we hate the things we once loved. Everything becomes changed. It becomes turned around. It's the renewing of the mind that changes the course that we are going. It changes the direction we are going. It changes the life that we are living. It changes us from the inside out. That metamorphosis experience. And something I want to hold up to all of us this morning. Brother Allen mentioned this morning about it being Memorial Day weekend, and it's how that it is good to remember some things. And I also had to think of Brother Joe said last week that we don't drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror, which I agree with that too. But there are some times that it's good to look back and remember some of the things that God has done and appreciate the heritage that we have and the things that God has done for us. So this morning, my message is going to be a little different, but I'm going to share with you some of the personal metamorphosis experiences that I've experienced in my lifetime, and trust that these experiences could be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you as you face life's battles and as you face situations in life. I'm going to take you back to the time when I was a little boy, about 60-some years ago, and share with you some of my life experiences and some of the things that I personally witnessed and experienced as in light of the transformation power of God in the life of my parents and in my own personal life. I was born in 1953 into a non-Christian home. There was no prayer in our home. There was no Bible reading in our home. My parents were not church members. They were not, they had no profession of religion whatsoever. We lived like the world. We looked like the world. We dressed like the world. There was no Christianity in our home. They were unsaved, and they knew it. They didn't. They would not have. They would not have tried to convince you otherwise. If you would have asked them if they were Christians, they would have said no. They knew they were unsaved. every other Sunday, I think it was, if I remember right, we would dress up in our finest. We'd dress up with our neckties and our jewelry and dress worldly. And we would go to church where my grandparents were members, where the people were plain people. But we would go there late, sit in the back bench, and just be there as observers or as visitors. And I think think about every other Sunday we did that. The other Sunday we would stay at home. But they were unconverted. They were unsaved, unconverted. That's the state of the unconverted. They knew they were unconverted, and they were that way until I was about 8 or 9 years old. I remember I was in school for a couple of years. I say this very respectfully. My parents were very, it was a good home. I have no negative experience from feeling that our home was a bad home or anything like that. But Jesus was not there. There was no Christianity. There was no church. There was no Bible reading. No prayer. That was not, to my knowledge, I mean, it was not done as a family. If there was any, it would have been in secret. But we would sit down to eat lunch or eat meals, and we would not bow our heads for prayer. We would not. There was no prayer of any kind. That's the way we lived, and that's the way I knew my first 8 or 9 years of my life. But then one morning, when I was, like I said, about 8 or 9 years old, my father called us into the living room before breakfast, and he said, things are going to change. At that point, they decided they're going to become Christians. And he got the Bible out, he read the Bible, and we had prayer together that morning for the first time. And at that point, they began seeking God and pursuing God, and they began to dress different, they began to live different, and began to take an interest in the Word of God, and they actually became very passionate about seeking God. And it wasn't long till they began meeting with some other young Christians in Friday night Bible studies. It was there was a number of families made that commitment to walk with God about that same time, and they got together and started studying the Bible and started praying and seeking God together and searching the Scriptures, and they became very, very passionate about their walk with God and their Christianity. And our life changed so drastically from no church at all to going to revival meetings and prayer meetings and Bible studies every week. It was like, I remember there was, every week there was, it was like prayer meeting in the middle of the week. There was Bible studies on Friday night. There was church on Sunday morning. There was church on Sunday night. And it became a passion for them to seek after God and to search for God and to fellowship with believers. And I believe that was where the metamorphosis took place in their life. So my life went from no prayer and no Bible and no Jesus to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, prayer meeting every Thursday evening, Bible study every Friday evening, and a lot of revival meetings in between. And I can't ever remember that my parents ever complained about being tired of going. I don't remember anything about that. We just went and went and went. During this time, they became involved with various different churches, and at that time, we attended a holiness church for several years, it was a church that would have been, the church standards would have been similar to what we have here today. Something, they were conservative people, but they were a lot of diversity and a lot of variety among the people, it was a real good experience. A lot of passionate seeking after God and serving God and worshiping God. But then after a couple of years, that church kind of went to nothing. And then my parents had a passion for the next generation, for me and my brothers and sisters and my cousins. And they were concerned that the next generation would become involved in the church, and so they took a turn from the direction they were going and started looking at more of the conservative churches again. And during this time, by this time I was about 14 or 15 years old. I was very much involved in junior high school, and I had a lot of friends in school and in the community, and I was popular. I was through eighth grade and was just looking forward to going into high school and being with the in crowd, and I had my life all mapped out before me, I thought. But it wasn't that one year, I think it was in 1968, they had a revival meeting come into our community, the little group that got together. They had an evangelist come in that week. And that week, there was 17 young people got saved. I think there was 2 weeks of meetings. There were 17 people got saved that week, but I wasn't one of them. I was very rebellious and had my heart set on what was before me, going to high school and being with my friends and living my life the way I had it all mapped out. But then, after that revival, then the vision came up for a Christian day school. And that was one thing that I thought was the craziest thing that could ever happen. There was no such thing in that. It was one of the first Christian day school movements back in that day. There was never anything like that in the community before. And that was one of the hardest pills for me as a 15-year-old to think of dropping out of school and going to a little church school instead of going on with the life that I had always known and always had anticipated. But my parents were very gentle and were very considerate and very kind, and through their prayers and their pleading and their wisdom and God's work in my heart, I surrendered my will to going to school anyhow, and it all worked out. And then about 6 months later, there was another revival meeting came through the area, and at that time, I was getting kind of lonely because all my cousins and all the other young people were in the instruction class and were about to be baptized, and I was the oldest one of them all and was standing there stubborn and rebellious about it. And I did finally, at this 6 months later, did give respond respond in the church service and made an effort to get right with God, but I didn't really feel like I got through with God at that time. But at a later, about 6 months later, during the summer, I was seeking God and crying out to God and pursuing God, and I came to the realization of faith in Jesus Christ, the reality of the finished work of Christ on the cross for me. That's when Jesus met me in the reality of my life and saved my soul and washed my sins away and made a change in my heart. And I found the assurance of salvation and peace that I was longing for. And soon after that, I was baptized and became a part of a church. But one of the biggest struggles of my life, some of the biggest struggles of my life began right at that time. After living the life that I had lived up to that time, and all of a sudden becoming in a church where they had rules and regulations that I thought were just totally unnecessary, and being 15, 16 years old, and I had ideas of my own, and here they come with things that were unreasonable in my mind. And I guess this is one reason for sharing this morning. I know that young people face these kind of things, and I faced it tremendously, coming from a culture where I was not acquainted with a lot of the rules and regulations they were trying to put on me, and then trying to be respectful to my parents and to the church, and trying to walk an obedient Christian life, and then facing these things that were unreasonable to me, things that really didn't make sense. One of the rules they had, and I guess this is one thing that sort of brought me to sharing this morning. A couple months ago, one of the sisters asked me how long I had a beard. And I said, well, I had it ever since I was 16 years old. And she said, did you want to have it then? I said, no. I did not want to have a beard then. But that was one of those rules that the church made, and I did it. But it was a battle, and it was a struggle. It was something that I fought it, and I fought it. Those kind of things. I felt that that was just not right. It's just not reasonable. But I came to the place where one of the... I tried to submit to these things, but I had this, I don't want to spirit within me. I don't want to do these things. I don't want to do some of these things that they were asking. I was doing it, but I don't want to. My want to was resisting. My will was just not surrendered, and I was battling and struggling with these things. It doesn't make sense to have to comb your hair a certain way and to wear certain clothes and to do certain things and the things that they wanted me to do. But I struggled with this. My want to was not surrendered to God. And one day I was reading in a book about the will of man and surrendering your will to God, and it used the term your want to. It said in there, you need to ask God to take your want to and change it. Change your want to. You know, I'd like to change the church. I'd like to change my parents. I'd like to change the rules. But I finally come to the place that the only choice I had was to ask God to change me. And I started praying this prayer. I said, God, I want you to take my want to and make me to want what you want me to want. I want you to change that. And I've tried to surrender this want to God. And if God can change that so that I want the things that I'm supposed to want, that I'm supposed to have, then I don't have to have it. As long as my want to gets changed, then I don't have to have these things. Because I want to have them. But I started praying in that way. I started praying and surrendering myself to God and saying, God, just take my want to and change it and make me want the things you want me to want. Make me to want the things that the church wants me to want. Make me to give me that desire, change that desire, change that will, change my passions and turn me around and make me the way you want me to be. And as I cried out to God for that, I believe God took me at his word. And I believe he did that very thing. Those things that were such an offense to me became a part of me in such a way that there's no stumbling block to me at all anymore. In fact, that's probably the reason why I'm still doing some of those same things today when I don't have to anymore. But it's just a part of me, and it's a part of the way my life is, and I don't have a problem with it. You know, the last 21 years we've had a church here where we don't require all those things that we've had in the past. But for myself, I'm not one of those to quit, change everything and do everything different just because I don't have to anymore. That's my challenge to us this morning, that we learn what it is to surrender that want to God. If we can we can have God change those things that we struggle with. He can change our heart so that those things that we struggle with are no longer a struggle. They can change it so that we are no longer battling and working against things that God wants us to have, and that we don't have to be under a bondage to these things, but we can be free in walking in Jesus and walking after the things that he wants us to have. I believe God wants us to live our life because we want to, not because we have to. But we can have the freedom to experience that metamorphosis, a change in our heart. Sometimes those changes can come about quickly and abruptly by true repentance and breaking ourselves before God, but sometimes it takes time. The metamorphosis experience is, those changes take place over our lifetime. It doesn't all happen all at once, but as we lay our life out before God and surrender ourselves to God, surrender our will to God, surrender our being to God, and our want to God, he can take us and he can change us and he can make us that we can want those things that we didn't want before. He can make us to love the things that we once hated and to hate the things that we once loved. That's my challenge to each one here this morning. If you are facing battles today with things that you know you ought to be doing, but you're doing them because you have to and not because you want to, surrender your want to God and ask him to do that operation in your heart. Ask him to change the way you think. Ask him to change the things that you love. Ask him to change the things that you want. God can conform that. He can transform you. He can change you. He can transform your whole being into a different person, to a different person than what you were. God can change that. He can make that difference in your life. He can make that, it may take time. It may not all happen all at once. It didn't happen all at once for me, but it was one of those things that after a few years and look back over it, well, look what God did. I didn't even realize it was happening, but he did it in a slow and gentle and a beautiful way. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is by faith as we walk with God, as we keep our focus on Him, and as we surrender ourselves continually to Him. His transforming power will change us. That metamorphosis experience will take place in our life. God wants you to live your life because you want to, not because you have to. I'm glad this morning for that power, for that God is a God of force, a God that's going to force you to do this and force you to do that, but he works with us in a gentle and a still small voice, he takes time and his kindness and in his love works this work in our heart to transform and to change us from the inside out, allowing his spirit to work in us and to accomplish his work in us, to transform and to change and to perfect that which he would have us to be. I believe God has a perfect plan for every one of us here today. God has put us where we are for a reason. Sometimes we think that we're in a situation where if we were just in a different situation, if we were somewhere else, if we were in a different home or a different environment or something was different, then we could walk with God. But I believe God put us where we are for a reason, and He is able to work in us, to accomplish His work in us, to make us a Christian that is contented and vibrant and experiencing the joy and the power and the peace of God right where we are. I don't think we have to pack up and run off all the time in order to find our answers for God. But God wants to work in us and change us from where we are, from right where we are. He wants to do that work in you today. You might be here today. You know, I think this morning of, you know, sometimes you might be here and you might be unsaved. You might be here and not be part of the church. You might be struggling with the idea of surrendering your life to Jesus and surrendering your life to God, and you have all these fears and struggles and battles of the will that are going on within you. It's my challenge to you this morning. Start talking to God. Just be honest with God. Just say how it is. Just start telling him how it is. Tell him that it looks too hard. It looks too big. You feel like you can't do it. Just tell God. Just start being honest with God. I believe once we get honest with God, God starts dealing in our hearts. God starts working in us, and he starts doing things that we never thought would happen. If life looks too hard, church life looks too hard, the Christian life looks too hard, we can't see ourselves being in there. Just start being honest with God. Tell God how you feel about it. I remember that's how I did. I told God, I don't want these things, but I don't know what to do about it. You're going to have to change me. You're going to have to work in me. You're going to have to do something to make a difference, because I can't do it. I don't want to live my life doing things that I don't want to do. But when we surrender that want to God, He can make us that we want those things that He wants us to have. And we don't have to live our Christian life, but we get to live our Christian life. We don't live our life because we have to, but because we get to. We have that liberty to walk with Jesus in freedom. Be overcomers with the joy and the peace and the contentment of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and experience His joy all the days of our life. So That's my challenge to each of us this morning. Surrender your want to God. Surrender your will to God. Surrender your heart to God. And let God take you from there. It doesn't matter what stage of Christianity you were in. You might have been a Christian for 20 years or more, and you still battle with issues. You battle with the will. You battle with your heart. You battle with what God wants you to do, being willing to do what God wants you to do and be what God wants you to be. The more we learn to surrender our will to God, the more we learn to talk to God and be honest with Him. Tell Him how you feel about it. Tell Him what you think. Tell Him what you're struggling with. He knows how to work in us, in the depths of our heart, in the renewing of our mind and transforming us into the image of Himself. My challenge to every one of us here this morning, let's be honest with God. Let's tell Him how it is and let Him do His work and accomplish His purpose within us. Let's stand together for prayer again. Our Father in heaven, this morning we thank You for everyone here this day. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the promises in Your Word. We thank You for what You've done in the lives of Your people and how You have accomplished Your work in many of us. And we pray, Father, for any that are here this morning that might be struggling with their will, struggling with their desires and their surrender of their heart. We pray, Father, that there would be a brokenness and an honesty and a willingness to surrender every aspect of our life to God, that we might be able to experience the true reality of contentment and peace and satisfaction in our soul. Bless each one here this day. As we go from here, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.